We've got 11 games on the Monday MLB slate on FanDuel, but first, Keith Cummings. We need to talk.
Okay.
Things are not going well.
Yep.
In Heath Cummings land.
Yes.
Mike McClure also here. I assume things are going better for you than they are for Heath, because you won Dawn Chasers last week.
Yeah.
Heath has not won a full week since early June.
Okay.
Over the last 38 days.
Yes.
He now has one dong.
Yes.
He's on a nine-day dongless streak.
Okay. So what date precisely does that start?
You had a Bryce Harper dong on June 16th.
June 16th?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to tell you something.
Okay.
And I don't know if this has anything to do with anything.
Okay.
On June 15th,
mm-hmm.
the Royals were 15 games over 500.
Okay.
That was the highest they've got above 500 all season.
Okay.
They also designated Omar Infante for assignment.
There you go.
Since that point, the Royals have been one of the worst teams in baseball.
You don't give up on an all-star.
And I have one dong.
Yeah. I think this is the best possible explanation,
yes.
I think.
Makes a lot of sense.
The curse of Infante. You 35% of the season so far, you have one dong.
Yes.
But no, not having Omar Infante on the Royals, that is the best possible explanation.
Omar said no more Royals wins or Heath dongs.
Okay, so this has been a really... I'm sorry for bringing it up now. I didn't realize what a tough month and a quarter this has been for you. You've been without Omar Infante.
Thankfully, I think the Royals are getting ready to trade Wade Davis for Trey Turner. So we'll be okay.
Oh, good.
That
should work out for the Nationals.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime your season is ruined because you traded to move your temperamental closer out of the ninth inning role, I think you have to do it 2 years in a row.
Well,
it can't go wrong 2 years in a row.
They asked already for Wade Davis. The Royals asked for Lucas Giolito.
Yeah.
I think the Nationals are going to counter with Trey Turner after seeing this latest Cubs deal.
Okay.
Because I don't think Trey Turner is a lot more than what the Cubs gave up.
I mean, Trey Turner's already a Major League-ready player, so that helps. The Gleyber Torres guy is high A, so.
Yeah.
He's high A, but he could move up quickly, I think.
Well, you know, we'll see.
We'll see. I think he can.
Mike, would you do that deal, Wade Davis for Trey Turner?
You obviously do that deal.
Yeah, I think
your team's
do that.
Bad.
I mean, at this point, you do. Had the Royals, you know, won six games in a row out of the All-Star break?
Well, the question is, and I know this is what Chris really wanted to talk about, was Royals trade scenarios. Wade Davis is signed through next year.
Right.
And next year is the end of the Royals window.
Yes.
But I think there's a chance that Trey Turner is more valuable next year than Wade Davis.
Yeah.
It's possible.
It's possible.
And that's a perfect segue into Monday DFS talk.
Yes.
I think that's what everybody was expecting to spend their first 3 minutes hearing about. So thanks for sticking with it, guys. What do you guys make of this slate tonight?
FanDuel made some interesting choices.
Okay. With the pricing?
Yes.
Okay.
They...
Are you... Just off the top of my head, are you referring to a $5,200 Ian Desmond?
No.
Okay.
I'm
referring... Or $5,000. Excuse me.
I'm referring to a choice across the board where FanDuel decided we're not going to price everybody that's relevant within $2,000 of each other.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, we've got lots of players... I mean, it was really rare... 2 weeks ago or a week ago to see a $5,000 player, more than three of them.
Yeah.
And now we've got just more than a dozen, right? No, maybe not quite that many.
There are five.
Five.
But,
four.
But then we've got Rizzo at 47, Bryant at 48, E5 at 48. I feel like there like a lot of hitters went up in value.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So does this mean that you're going to be more interested in paying down for pitchers?
No, not today.
Okay.
I'm not.
Does that mean that you're going to be paying $10,000 for a pitcher?
My number one pitcher is more than $10,000, yes.
There are three pitchers above $10,000. Rank them, Heath.
I'm going to rank them Jake Arrieta, Noah Syndergaard, Drew Pomerantz.
You know, I'm trying to do different things.
Right.
So I would put them in the same order, to be clear.
Is Jake Arrieta both of your number one pitchers of the night? He is the most successful pitcher on the slate in terms of average fantasy points per game so far.
I will say that he's definitely my number one option in cash games.
Okay. Jake Arrieta going against the Chicago White Sox.
Right. Not my favorite choice in tournaments, maybe.
Okay.
Just because his upside's limited a little bit.
I mean, sure.
He has a good strikeout rate, but there's several pitchers that strike out a lot more batters than he does.
Including the two directly under him in price.
Right.
Yep.
I'm not starting Pomerantz against the Tigers in Fenway.
Okay.
Yeah, he's overpriced a little bit. I would consider him if he was, say, 92, 93 maybe.
Okay.
But even at 10-1, I can't do it.
Okay, so is Noah Syndergaard your favorite among the $10,000 pitchers in tournaments? Going against St. Louis, an extremely tough matchup.
Yes.
I actually think that in tournaments, I would still prefer Pomeranz a little more. I actually like the Cardinals quite a bit tonight.
I wonder, though, how good have the Cardinals been against righties since Carpenter went out? I mean, he was their best hitter against righties.
Yes, he was their best hitter against righties. I do think they're still a very good team against right-hand pitching.
Okay. Anything else you guys need to say about the $10,000 pitchers?
No.
Okay, so who would be your number one tournament pitcher of the night, Heath?
I mean, it'd probably be Thor. My number one under $10,000. Are you guys ready to laugh?
No, because it's probably the same guy I have.
I don't think it is.
It's a pitcher who gets a lot of swinging strikes, right?
It's the pitcher that leads the American League in K per nine.
I believe he's top four in swinging strike rate this season, going against a team that strikes out a lot.
I think Michael Pineda is the most tournamentiest of options ever.
Okay.
And I did something.
Michael Pineda going against the Houston Astros tonight.
Really strange that I've never done before in the article today. Pineda is listed amongst the top three pitchers because of that upside.
Mm-hmm.
And the Astros are also one of my top three stacks.
Okay. And what do you view his upside as?
12 strikeouts, 7 or 8 shutout innings.
Okay.
I like him a lot. I'm afraid that you're actually going to be dead on with listing the Astros up there as well.
Right.
What I'm predicting from Pineda tonight is one of those 5-inning games where he does get 9 to 10 Ks but also gives up 5 earned runs.
What do you guys make of do you have a sense of who Michael Pineda is as a pitcher?
I think he is absurdly talented.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And maddeningly inconsistent. Not okay. Inconsistent from game to game or inning to inning, but pitch to pitch.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's a guy, like, there are guys that walk way too many batters because they miss outside of the strike zone so often. Pineda seems to miss right in the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He only has a 6.3% walk rate, which is a little better than average. His strikeout rate, 27.5%, very good. He's good against righties. He's got arguably one of the 5 best sliders in baseball, at least when it comes to swinging strike rate. That could work out really well for him against a team like the Houston Astros. But man, yeah, it's one of those things where he could pitch really well and just make like 4 mistakes and give up 6 runs.
That's the most likely outcome.
Yep.
But there is also, it would not be that far outside of what expectation for him to not make 4 mistakes.
Yeah.
He might make 2.
Or makes 4 mistakes, but, you know, George Springer pops one up or, you know, it
right.
happens.
Yes. So, yeah, I'm going to have a pretty sizable amount of Pineda in tournaments, and I'm also going to have Astros decks, which is weird.
Not together.
No.
So it's less weird. You know.
Not together.
Yeah. I'm not going to play Pineda with Astros.
It's less weird, you know. I think that makes sense. Michael Pineda is an extremely high variance pitcher, although, you know, even this season he had that nice run about a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
And even then, he only topped 40 fantasy points in one of his, like, 5 really good starts in a row.
Yeah, he must not have won very many of those games.
Yeah, he won one of the – he had 6 really good games. But he only won one of them. He was 34, 36, 36, 38, 39, 51.
And the
very
funny,
consistent, just not getting the win.
The funny thing is, he's going up against a pitcher in Dallas Keuchel that I think people will play, partially because of the narrative that Keuchel owns the Yankees.
Okay.
Partially because there's people that still believe that Keuchel has the Cy Young stuff that he showed last year.
Okay.
I am not necessarily one of those people, but he's over 30 FanDuel points in each of his last 4 starts and 7 of his last 8.
Who did he play in his last few? I know he had two games against the A's. What about
Mariners, that? Angels, Reds, Rays?
Yeah, so that's,
you know what's kind of astounding?
That's
kind of
why.
He has a 5.70 ERA on the road, even though he's only given up 3 home runs in 42 and two-thirds innings. He's given up 15 home runs in 63 and two-thirds innings at home, and he only has a 4.95 ERA.
Look at Pineda. Almost the same story.
Well, that's Pineda.
Oh, that is? Okay, yeah. Okay. I was like...
Yeah, that's really strange.
Yeah, really
like
strange.
Like, his strikeout-to-walk rate, almost the same at home on the road. It's just his BABIP's 85 points higher on the road.
Yeah, the whip's higher, but that's... Yeah, it's kind of odd.
Yeah, that's really strange.
When I saw the ERA, I went to look at the home run per nine rate, and it's pretty good.
Yeah. Which other pitchers are you looking at tonight?
Anthony DeSclafani.
Anthony DeSclafani in San Francisco.
Yep.
Going against the Giants. It's a great park shift. Not a good matchup for him, though.
Not a great matchup for him, but the Giants lineup is pretty weak right now.
Not someone who has a ton of strikeout potential, although we do have two games with 8 strikeouts in his last 4.
Yeah.
What else do you like specifically about it besides that?
Well, you know, I love my narratives. Okay. So DeSclafani is actually in trade talks, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the starting pitching market's not great right now. And he might want out of Cincinnati. He might, you know, he might go out there and pitch very well tonight and get moved.
You know that there are going to be people that play the opposite side of that game, Jake Peavy, because of the narrative that he's so much better at home.
Yes.
Well, Jake Peavy has been much better at home.
Everyone should be better at home there at the park.
Right. I think going back to last season, he has an ERA around 3 in AT&T Park. Just worth pointing out.
The Reds, not sure if you buy into this at all, but the Reds have scored 26 runs in the last 4 games.
Okay. 6.5 runs per game, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Do you think they'll stay hot at all? Do you believe in that at all? What do you think there?
I would guess, and this is without looking it up, I would guess they're a team that's pretty heavily reliant on home runs to score with guys like Jay Bruce, Adam Duvall. Yeah. Zach Cozart, Eugenio Suarez, low on base but high slugging guys.
Sure.
I would guess they're a team that's dependent on home runs, and that's tough to rely on in a park like AT&T.
Makes sense.
Especially, I guess the good news is most of their hitters are right-handed, and AT&T Park is especially tough on left-handed power hitters.
Yeah.
What about guys like Aaron Sanchez going against the Padres or Carlos Martinez going against the Mets? What do you guys think of those?
Sanchez, I think, is kind of in the same boat for me as Pomerantz.
Okay.
In that I would really consider him if he was $1,000 less.
He's $9,600.
But he does have an outstanding matchup in terms of upside. It's kind of turning into almost like an Astros-like matchup.
Yeah.
Because the Padres are pretty high variance.
Yeah, they've been striking out a lot, but their offense has actually been pretty solid over the last month or so.
Yeah.
What I like about it is it's an opportunity for a guy who's just a decent strikeout pitcher to really up his strikeout rate tonight. And what about Carlos Martinez against the Mets?
I like Martinez quite a bit. The problem is still the win probability on FanDuel.
Okay.
I think he's probably better used on DraftKings where the win isn't as important.
Okay.
But I do like Carlos Martinez a lot.
And are there any other starting pitchers you guys are considering tonight?
No, I think that's pretty much it for me.
I will point out one, a guy who has a really nice park shift, another narrative guy, like you talked about with the trade talk. Jeremy Hellickson has a pretty good matchup against the Marlins. I know they've actually been pretty solid offensively this season, but he's got a really good matchup in terms of the opposing starting pitcher, which is Jared Cozart. He's got a really nice park shift going from Citizens Bank Park to Marlins Park. So I think Jeremy Hellickson at $7,300 is someone that's worth considering.
How do you feel about Cozart being a -152 favorite against Hellickson in this game?
I mean, the Marlins are a much better team than the Phillies.
Sure.
But I think Hellickson's significantly better. Oh.
And do you think the Marlins are interested in trading for Hellickson?
I believe
he's going to make the
are.
Start and just stay in Miami.
I believe they are interested in him. I'm not 100% sure they should be, but I believe that they are.
Yeah.
So I think Hellickson is at least worth a look.
I was thinking about this. If you're a team that's going to be right on the border of the playoff race, or fighting for your life, like I think the Rangers are eventually going to be fighting for the division with the Astros, and I don't know that I think they're going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how they were interested in Edison Volquez, and Volquez was scheduled to pinch against them yesterday. wouldn't it make sense for the Marlins to try to trade for Hellickson like an hour before the game starts and just guarantee yourself a win tonight?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Like, I think that makes a lot of sense.
I think that would make sense. I think part of the problem is you're trading for Jeremy Hellickson.
Well, sure. It's one win. Maybe sure. He picks you up one more the rest of the season.
Hey, that could be the difference.
Two wins.
I mean, it sounds like Wei Yin Chen might have a serious elbow injury, so the Marlins do need starting pitching.
Yeah. No, I agree with that a lot. It would make a ton of sense to do that. I actually, when I heard the Rangers were interested in Volquez, I thought they might do that.
Yeah, they should have.
I mean,
now they won the game anyway.
They won the game anyway, but they
should have traded for Edinson Volquez. I'm not sure that's exactly the way I would frame it.
Steady Eddie is steady.
Yep.
Sure.
He's had one bad start this year.
Let's talk about some pitchers who might have some bad starts, or rather the offenses that might have some bad start or good starts against them. Who are your favorite stacks tonight?
Well, I mentioned the Astros. They're not number one for me.
Okay.
Mike, you can choose number one. I chose...
For me, it's definitely going to be the Blue Jays.
Yep.
Jose Bautista's back in the lineup also. Ray really struggles when runners get on base. With Bautista in there, he's excellent at getting on base. But really, it's just going to help Donaldson, Encarnacion, and Saunders quite a bit.
They are all fairly expensive tonight. That's the one issue with using them as a stack is... Yep. Donaldson's 5,100, Jose Bautista's 5,000, Edwin Encarnacion is 4,800.
Wow.
And Michael Saunders is even 4,000. So if you're going with them, you need to go with a cheap pitcher like Hellickson, or even cheaper like maybe Jared Cozart since he is a favorite. And then even then, you're probably still going to have to go very cheap on the rest of your offense. But they'll probably be very good. Heath.
I don't think Mike's going to like this one.
Oh.
But I'm going to try to turn his narrative around on him. And I think the Diamondbacks are going to have a revenge game against Chase Anderson.
Okay.
Like, technically, he should be the one that gets the revenge game, but all the players on the Diamondbacks are human as well, I believe, except for maybe Jake Lamb.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I think the Diamondbacks are going to take revenge on Chase Anderson for sucking so bad.
Okay.
Because if Chase Anderson had been better, the Diamondbacks might have kept him and not traded for Shelby Miller, who sucks even more.
Yeah.
Sure.
So
a lot of layers.
I am going with the Diamondbacks, mostly just because I think Chase Anderson's bad, and the Diamondbacks are in one of the few parks that actually gives them a positive park shift bounce.
Especially for right-handed batters. Miller Park is a very good park for right-handed power hitters.
Yep.
I'll throw out the Texas Rangers at home against Daniel Mengen. For the Oakland Athletics, anybody else?
No, but I want to ask you about Chase Anderson.
His splits
are just absolutely insane.
All right.
And they're completely opposite from what they were the year before.
Okay.
He's now allowing a 430 weighted on base average to right-handed hitters and a 283 wOBA to left-handed hitters in 2016.
I think it's possible because this happens with pitchers. Now, last year, he was...
He was actually even last year.
Completely even last year.
Dead even.
Just throws off what I was going to say. In 2014, he gave up a 363 to righties.
Okay, maybe I was just thinking backwards.
Well, the one thing to think about it, specifically with this, was that even for a full season, you're probably only looking at 350 to 400 plate appearances against each specific type of hand. So...
Yep.
There's room for lots of fluctuation based on that over the course of a year. Any 400 plate appearance sample size is not necessarily indicative.
What about an 800?
Okay.
Is that big enough?
I mean, but we're talking about the year-over-year shifts.
Right. I'm just saying
if you pull up his career, yeah, that would be more indicative.
364 wOBA against righties with a 507 slug.
Okay.
And lefties only have a 311 wOBA.
Okay, yeah, I'd buy into that a little more. So get your Paul Goldschmidt's.
Yes. And he's actually like 4,200 is about where Goldschmidt's been price wise, but he was one of the guys that didn't get the price bump.
Yeah.
So, which is weird since he went to one of the best parks for right-handed hitters in the league.
Yeah.
But yeah, Encarnacion, Rizzo, those guys jumped well up above him. Yep. So yeah, I'm definitely playing some Paul Goldschmidt.
While we're talking about the revenge narrative, we do need to mention Gene Segura.
Yes, sure. That's a good point.
Gene Segura you've got there. It's also worth pointing out the Diamondbacks are making rookie Braden Shipley will be making his major league debut. This is a guy who's been a pretty consistent top 100 prospect throughout his minor league career, but the results have been pretty mediocre. Strikeout rate not particularly strong. Walk rate kind of mediocre. Mid-3 ZRA throughout his career, including a 3.70 this season at AAA, albeit in the PCL. So worth pointing out that both sides of that game could be worth playing.
Yes, I definitely think both sides are worth playing. I don't expect Shipley to do very well tonight.
I would also point out the Baltimore Orioles have a pretty good matchup against Jorge De La Rosa. Oakland on the other side of that game, they've got a good park shift for their offense, and they're going against Martin Perez, who I believe is last in the majors in Sierra, among, I would guess, a number of other advanced statistics, because he's been something of a pulling something of a Houdini act this season, has basically a 1-to-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio, and has somehow managed to not be an utter disaster. I think that probably changes.
Yeah, I like the A's a lot. The Woba Model had a rough weekend, but the A's are one of my Woba Model picks today.
Simeon, Valencia, Chris Davis.
Smolinski. Revenge game, Smolinski.
There you go.
He actually leads Major League Baseball in Woba against
games?
Yes. And in Woba against left-handed pitching this season for all hitters above 50 plate appearances.
Okay. That's there you go.
He crushes lefties. The other thing that's interesting that we could point out a little bit here is the line movement already in the Detroit-Boston game. The line's moving heavily in favor of Verlander.
Interesting.
I tend to think it's a little bit of an overreaction to Pomeranz in his first start.
Verlander has been very good
Verlander
lately.
Verlander has been fantastic pretty much all year.
Yeah. He's it's weird. It's kind of the same thing that happened last year where he got off to a slow start, but he's really turning it around lately. 19 strikeouts in his last two outings in particular. Really working out for him. Heath.
Yes.
You have some BVP for us.
Yes. Do we want to play a little bit of do or fade?
Yes. I always want to play.
Okay. Giancarlo.
Some people have a fade as their do.
Giancarlo fade. Stanton.
Hold on. We just have. Even your cold black hearts have to have been impressed by that home run he hit off Jacob DeGrom on Saturday.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I did see it. Okay.
You
it was
heard
nice.
The
impossible to not see it.
I
heard it from my apartment. I heard it off the bat.
It was remarkable.
Giancarlo 1-for-13 with 5 strikeouts against Jeremy Hellickson.
I would play him.
Okay.
So I would fade that stat. I'm not quite sure what the
you're asking Chris if he would play Giancarlo Stanton.
Okay.
Of course you fade that.
Dustin Pedroia,
okay,
1-for-18 against Justin Verlander.
I would probably not play Pedroia, but not necessarily because of that stat.
Yeah, I'm not playing Pedroia.
Salvador Perez, 1-for-13 against Hector Santiago.
I was actually thinking I would play Salvador Perez today.
Yes.
I don't think that number really changes it.
Okay.
I would still play Salvador Perez.
One other thing about Salvador is he's actually bad against lefties.
Okay.
Which is weird. I don't know if I buy it, but it's been the case.
Yeah, at least this season.
We do have a BVP pitcher today.
Yes.
It's
been a while.
Yes.
I don't think we had a BVP lineup last week.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, we only did 2 podcasts.
Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, why didn't you guys do one Friday?
We couldn't. There was something with the room.
The room was not available.
Hector Santiago, Royals hitters, have 81 plate appearances against Santiago.
All right.
203 average, 318 slug, 598 OPS against Santiago.
There's your tournament pitcher, Hector Santiago.
Yes, he's 8,300, which seems high. But we don't care about price.
Nice park for him to move to, though.
Yes. At the catcher position, we've got some really fun BVPs today.
Okay.
This one's not one of them. Nick Hundley, 3-for-8 with an 11.25 OPS against Giovanni Gallardo.
Okay.
At first base, Albert Pujols, 4-for-10. All 4 hits are extra base hits. 3 of them are dongs against Ian Kennedy.
There you go.
Wow.
18.17 OPS against Kennedy. Neil Walker at second base. Only 4-for-16 off of Carlos Martinez, but 2 dongs for 1,000 OPS.
Okay.
Yunel Escobar is the third baseman. Only 2-for-7 off of Kennedy, but 1 dong. At shortstop, we've got Carlos Correa, who is 5-for-6 against Michael Pineda with 4 extra base hits and 2 dongs.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is a 3,000 OPS.
I'm pretty sure that was a double dong game.
Yeah, that works.
I think Pineda just got blown up in that start.
Well, it was 2 starts because he had 6 plate appearances.
Right, but I think that the 2 home runs both came in the same game.
Okay, so the other game...
He only went 2-for-3 against him.
The other game, he probably
went 3-for-3.
2-for-3 with 2 extra base hits.
Fine.
Carlos Gonzalez against...
Who was the third baseman?
You know Escobar.
Okay.
In the outfield...
Yeah?
Yeah. We had a little bit of an issue.
Okay.
So Carlos Beltran...
Okay.
...is definitely a BVP play. I'm all kinds of flustered now. 5-for-12... with a 12-12 OPS against Dallas Keuchel.
Works for me.
Marcell Ozuna.
Okay. I believe he donged last time he faced the Jeremy Hellickson.
Yes. And he is 4-for-12 with an 11.79 OPS. And then Christian Yelich is 6-for-14 against Hellickson.
Okay. Works for me.
I thought you would like that.
All right. You guys want to catch some dongs?
Probably not.
Besides Heath?
Nope.
Mike,
should I just quit?
Mike, you narrowly edged out the win last week because you went a little cheaper than I did. We both had 2 dongs, but you got the win with your David Ortiz Wellington Castillo combination. So, way to go! Update the season long standings real quick, Heath. Last place, 12.5.
It's funny how much more willing you are to update the standings now.
12.547 for Heath. Still does have the cheapest price, so way to go, buddy.
Thanks.
I'm in second place now, 13.979, really pulling away. And Mike's still sitting very comfortably at 19.461. I think the first place race has pretty much been decided, but Heath, you've still got a chance for a second.
Oh, no, it's not over.
It's not over. I could not hit a dong the rest of the season.
Maybe. At least
or
one
I
in
can
the
hit
next
two
39
tonight.
Days. Who's going to hit 2 for you tonight?
Well, if we want to make things fun, which is what I'm here to do,
right?
Okay.
I'm going to start picking extremely expensive players who are also more likely to hit home runs.
Okay. This doesn't.
I'm not going to worry about price at all going forward.
This seems like the safe strategy.
It might make things more fun though. If I go on a slump picking $5,000 players,
this is the sitting on the this is the
four
Andy
corners.
Reed. Yeah.
The four corners.
Yes.
Alex Smith is now your quarterback.
Yes, and Josh Donaldson is my dong chaser at 5,100.
I don't even think that's the most obvious one. I'm going to pick the most obvious one. He is $9,000 or $900 less than Josh Donaldson, I believe. $1,000 less than Josh Donaldson. Mike Trout.
I figured that's who you're going
with. Going against Ian Kennedy, who has made a living off of giving up dongs.
So yeah, Heath? So is somebody else.
Okay.
One of 3 other pitchers with a home run per nine over 1.6 in the last calendar year.
Okay.
And he's facing a $2,000 right-handed hitter that has torn up lefties in his limited exposure so far this season. I'll go with Brett Eibner against Hector Santiago.
Ooh. Brett?
Such a homer.
Brett Eibner. Okay.
Is he even going to be on the lineup tonight?
That's a person.
If he's not, it's really going to suck. But yeah. He has a 11.31 OPS versus lefties in his career.
Wow.
Which includes about 26 plate appearances.
465 wOBA.
How many plate appearances? He can't have more than 30 plate appearances versus left-handed pitching.
I don't care.
Okay.
He's going with Brett Eibner, okay?
That's fine.
He has 28 plate appearances against lefties.
I said like 20. What did I say?
26.
All right, okay. Here's my lineup for tonight. I'm going with Aaron Sanchez as my starting pitcher. I like the win potential. I like the strikeout boost that he should get facing the Padres. I'm going with Wellington Castillo. I'm also going with a full Texas Rangers.
Fool is right.
A full Texas Rangers stack, which includes Mitch Moreland, Jurickson Profar, Adrian Beltre, and Nomar Mazara as my Ranger stack, so a cheaper stack. Carlos Correa as my shortstop. Mike Trout as an outfielder, along with George Springer. So that is Mazara, Trout, and Springer in the outfield for me.
Okay.
Who wants to give a lineup?
I'm going to give we forgot one thing, the listener's dong pick.
Okay.
We're going to go with James Karen's dong today.
Okay.
I like his Twitter profile, and I think I might steal it.
Okay.
Ooh. I like sports, and I don't care who follows.
Okay.
No, I read it wrong. I don't care who knows. Anyways, James Klein, the very first person to respond, said Hosmer dong.
All right. We got a left Hosmer dong.
I like it. That's sneaky.
Okay.
I'll give my FanDuel lineup, and then I'll give my DraftKings after Mike. How does that sound?
Let's hear it.
I've got Jake Arrieta as my starting pitcher.
Boom.
Jason Castro at catcher.
What?
Yeah, and that may change depending on how the lineups look, but Paul Goldschmidt at first, Derek Dietrich at second, Jake Lamb at third, Trevor Story at short.
Chase those dongs.
Carlos Gonzalez, Brett Eibner, and Jake Smolinski.
Okay.
All right. I've got Jake Arrieta, Wellington Castillo.
Okay.
Paul Goldschmidt, Gene Segura, Danny Valencia, who is only 2,700. Troy Tulowitzki, Mark Trumbo, Jake Smolinski, and Brett Eibner.
Yes, Brett Eibner.
Okay.
Boom goes the dynamite.
And Heath. Let's see if you can get Brett Eibner into both your lineups today.
No, I didn't even look him up on DraftKings. Man. I didn't need to. I've got Arrieta and Peavy are my starting pitchers on DraftKings, with Salvedong at catcher, Edwin Encarnacion, Derek Dietrich, Josh Donaldson, Alcides Escobar's 2,300 on DraftKings. 2,300.
He's back.
Well, he should be about 500.
Cargo, Charlie Blackmon, and Jason Hayward.
Wow.
All the way down to 3,100.
Wow, okay.
I like the Rockies in there. I actually do think they're in a good spot tonight.
Okay. Okay, let's do it. Let's get some Eibner dongs. Heath, I'm rooting for you now.
Why? Because you think you're far enough ahead of me that I can't catch you?
No, I just feel bad.
Do you think Eibner is significantly more likely to hit a dong than Danny Valencia, who's only 2,700? Would you like to change to Danny Valencia? I will let you change if you want. I'm just trying to help you out.
No.
No?
No, I'm going with Brett Eibner. He's hitting a dong tonight.
Okay. I think even
guarantee it.
Even if he's not in the lineup, okay. I feel like you should probably leave him in there.
Because there won't be another $2,000 player for me to pick?
Yeah.
That's possible. There will be another $2,000 player.
I hope that there's another $2,000 player and he gets a pinch hit dong.
Do you guys remember the last time we did this and we were joking about whether I should take Ryan Howard or not?
Yeah.
And he hit a dong that night.
I told you to take Ryan Howard.
I played him in my lineup.
I told you to take Ryan Howard. I put him in. I wrote Ryan Howard down. You didn't go with it.
Yeah.
You missed your opportunity.
That's because I was afraid he wasn't going to be in the lineup.
You went with Jose Abreu instead.
When was your last... You said you have how many dongs since June 15th?
One.
16th. He has one since June 16th.
You know who else only has one since June 16th?
Probably Eric Hosmer.
Eric Hosmer.
Well, there you go.
You know whose shirt I'm wearing today?
Eric Hosmer.
Eric Hosmer.
This is all just relates, but it's all a circle.
It's perfect. Time is a flat circle. Synchronicity. Synchronicity part 2. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.